Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Raising Rebels family. This is the last episode of the season. No worries. I've already started recording season 5. And I want to just start with some gratitudes. I am so grateful to Marcelino and Randy, who have edited this season of the podcast. I am grateful to all of the guests that came on and shared and were so vulnerable. Super grateful to my 3 children who have allowed me to share some of their stories. And I am especially grateful to all of you listeners who have borne witness to my growth, to my thinking, to my wondering, to my questioning, to my mistakes, to my just like my vulnerability, my stories. It is such a gift to be seen and to be heard. So today, I'm kind of taking a step back, and this episode will be hosted by the wonderful Blue and my daughter, and I'm in the hot seat. So I hope you enjoy, and luckily we'll get to hear some more gratitudes for the season of Raising Rebels sprinkled throughout the episode. All the things.
What is one trait that you had as a child that you wish your children got to be around more often?
This is before the recollection? Are you redoing a recollection?
No, this is the pre-question question. Or do you want to do...
That feels like a real question question. That doesn't feel pre at all. That feels like deep in the... In
you back. Know how we go. This is just how we are.
All right, are we doing recollections?
Okay.
The only thing, if we do a recollection, you're going to have to do one too. So maybe you don't want to do
it. I can do a recollection. I'm prepared.
Stand up, bussing and fighting.
I'm Blue Radway, and this is Raising Rebels, a podcast about oppressed parents raising free children. Today, I am with my mom, Nolika. Say hi to the people, Mom.
Hello, 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 hello.
Okay, we like to begin the podcast with one word to describe how you're feeling.
I'm feeling proud. I'm feeling really, like, proud. This is, like, wow. Okay. My boo.
I'm nervous-sighted. The word I want to use is nervous-sighted. Because I'm, like, nervous, but I'm trying to be, like, kind of optimistic and, like, calm.
Okay.
So I'm going to say nervous-sighted. I'm trying to balance the two things out.
Okay.
Well, you got me. I'm here with you.
Yes. We're doing it together.
We're doing this together.
And it's going to be great.
Yes.
So,
because we said so.
Can you tell the people a bit about yourself?
Oh, shoot. Okay. what do I want to say about myself? I am, I'm an artist. I am constantly creating worlds in my mind and starting to, like, put those worlds on paper and film and all kinds of things. I am a mother, and I think, like, right now, I'm a writer. I'm a lot of different things. Right now, I'm really focused on children's liberation and, like, really investigating. I'm, like, in a deep, deep, deep study of, like, adult supremacy and ways in which I am engaging in adult supremacy. Like, that's, like, a lot of my work and, like, what I'm doing right now. I'm a lot of fun. I'm a Libra, middle child.
All things.
Tell us about your children.
Okay. I have three lovely children. The oldest is Blue. She is ambitious and expanding. She is like kind of like in that space of, I don't know, was like when you're like on the precipice of adulthood, where you're like checking it out, giving it the side eye, trying to figure out where you land in all of it. She's amazing, all the most wonderful things ever. Then I have a son, his name is Moxie. He is, I was thinking a word that was, is so, moves with so much intention. Like, he's a very purposeful person. Like, just like really purposeful. Nothing is an accident. Nothing just happens. Everything is like purposeful. And then Glory, who is right now upstairs crafting and building. It's interesting. I was looking at like some artwork of Glory's when she was 7. It was like a lot of putting different pieces of fabric and wood and like a lot of collaging, but like three-dimensional kind of collaging. She's an artist and she's very like clear. She's a very clear person. Like, you know where she stands. And I really appreciate that about her.
Okay. What is your favorite place to take your children?
That's interesting. What is my favorite place to take my children? This is a hard question, but not because it's a hard question, just because, like, I really like to be home with them. What's my favorite place? On a walk. I really like, this is a good reminder because we haven't done one in a long time. I really like going on walks with you guys. Like, just, like, no destination in mind, really. Like, where we're going is home, but we might, like, we're going to go out the house to get back to home. I really like that. I like not having to get in a car, not having to get on a bike, not having to like prepare anything. Just like, let's go for a walk. I love that. Mm-hmm. Let's go for a walk.
We did a lot of night walks.
Yeah. When we first went to Amsterdam. Maybe we should do a night walk. Because
no one could be anywhere during the day.
Yeah.
So how about we do a recollection? What is your youngest memory of trying to hide something?
Oh, shit. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I told this story on the, I don't know if I've ever told a story on a podcast, but it's what's coming to my mind right now. When I was about 8 years old, I got a diary. You know, like one of the, I don't know if you know, but like one, I think I've definitely given you these things, but like a diary that has like a little lock on it and you have your own key and all this kind of thing. And I remember I would like write like my deepest thoughts in that like diary, like whatever I was thinking, whatever I was like feeling, usually hard stuff, about how I feel like I was being treated unfairly. As a middle child, I remember specifically I wrote this thing about feeling like I was Cinderella and I was being asked to do all the chores and all these things. So crazy. But that's how I felt at the time. And I really wanted to hide it. And, or like, I don't, like, it was just something I was hiding, those feelings, but also feeling them. And grandma, my mother, she read it because that's who she is.
Yes.
And she told me about it. That she read it at the kitchen table.
I don't want to know
what that was. Oh, sorry. But anyway, that happened. But it's interesting because I was hiding those things, but I also wanted them to be seen. I wanted it to be known. But yeah.
Okay. So I'm having like a full, like, there are these moments where I'm like, dang, I'm turning into my mother. Because whenever I listen to the podcast, you always go last. So okay. You're very often like, your memory triggered a memory in me. And that is exactly what just happened for me. Because the first thing I thought of was just like, I used to like go to the grocery store and get groceries for you and buy candy with the change. Right? And I was like, I was hiding it.
I threw
this receipt away. And then I would literally throw the receipts away in the corner. And then I remember like a couple years ago, you were like literally on the podcast. You were like, wait, you thought I didn't know about that? And I was like, what? My espionage was a lie. Mm. But what that your memory made me think about was when we were in the Bronx. And I think I was going through something emotionally, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, it was something along the lines of, like, survivor's guilt, right?
Okay.
So I was, like, re-examining what my, like, what I thought the world was. And it was, like, felt like the world was a lie. And I was, right? Like, everything I was told was fake. Mm-hmm. But, so we went to Five and Below.
Okay.
Because that was, like, that's where Grandma took us. Mm-hmm. Like, we went to Five and Below. Mm-hmm. And Gloria's looking for toys. And I find a journal.
Okay.
It's a little, like, it's a purple journal with, like, you know, fabric cover. And I buy it. And I'm writing in it as we're going to Target. And my grandma, we park in the car, like, we're driving. And Grandma's like, Grandma's like, what are you writing in your journal? And I'm like, I don't want to tell you what we're writing, what I'm writing in the journal. And she's like, you best tell me what you are writing in that journal now. Right? And so the car parks. And I'm like trying to like, and I remember I didn't want to not tell her because I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell her because I knew she wouldn't get it. And then she tried to explain what she didn't get back to me. Which is exactly what happened. Except the twist was Aunt Siny was in the car with us.
Oh no.
Right? And so I have like, my association with that memory is confusing for me because mm-hmm. on one hand, I'm like, it was a similar thing about my journal that I didn't, like, I was hiding it, but I did want people to see it, right? Mm-hmm. I remember literally when I got the journal, I literally texted you, Mom, I got a journal. You can read my journal, but you can never tell me that you read.
I remember that. Right? I remember that. I thought it was so... gosh, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so smart. Because that is exactly what you want. Like, yeah. I want it to be seen. I want to know that
these are the things I am feeling. Yeah, but I just want this, like, I want to imagine that this was a safe space.
I want to
imagine that it's a safe space so I can express myself the way I would in a safe space. But I also need, like, this needs to sometimes, I feel like these things need to be shared with me. Right? So that was my first thing of, like, hiding something. Like, you want this thing to be hidden.
Yeah.
But you also kind of want it off your chest.
I gotta tell you, it was good for me, too. This idea of, like, there's no pressure to respond, but I know. Which I really appreciated. Because you'd say stuff and then, like, I don't have, like, oh, right, I can't say anything to you about this. So I just had to, like... sit with it.
Yeah.
Which is good. As a parent, I think it's a really good practice. I sometimes tell my parents, like, parents I talk to, I say that to them, like, it would be really nice to have a way for your child to communicate their feelings and thoughts to you without the responsibility of having to, like, process it with you or, like, explain it to you or hold that with you. But to know that you know, I think is really nice.
That was so fun.
Look at that. All right.
You ready?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Let's do it. I'm excited. I've been collecting these questions.
Nice.
Some of them are like hardballs. The hardballs are mostly my siblings because you know how they are.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start simple-ish.
Thank you.
Simple-ish.
Be nice. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is a way that you parent your kids that is different than the way your mom parented you? Just like one, you know?
It's interesting because I find that the more I think about how I parent my kids, I see the similarities more than the differences. I think that I'm willing to let my children lead in a way that I was not allowed to lead as a young person. You know, I think like, I guess I can expand more on that. Like, I think my mother listened to us and I think she trusted us and I think she really enjoyed us and I think she really valued us and all of those things. But outside pressures of like the world and expectations around like what it means to be, you know, female, what you should be doing in school, when you should go to, like, just like the outside societal pressures, I think she held that much more. I'm like much more willing to let all that go. And I think that's like a difference, at least how I perceive it.
I feel that.
Okay.
I've been with my grandma.
Okay.
Next question. It's going to be fun.
Yes, it's fun.
Okay. How have you tried to guide your children around romantic relationships and having romantic partners? I'm literally so curious.
Okay. Whoa.
I know.
Who wrote that? Moxie. That's a Moxie question. No.
Here's what actually happened behind that question.
Oh, my God.
Is I asked grandma for a question, and she wrote a question that was low-key out of pocket around like romantic relationships. Right? She was like, what is the appropriate age for dating? I'm like, I'm not saying that. I'm not asking that on the podcast. So I was like, let me rephrase what I want to know.
Okay. Using this. Got it. Thank you. Okay. Oh my gosh. Well, hopefully not much in the sense of like, I think that I don't think of myself as a expert in that. Or not, like, I don't think of myself in, like, ask the question again. I'm sorry. How have I tried to guide my children around romantic relationships?
And romantic partners.
Like and what? Romantic partners. I think a lot of my guidance is around being a listening ear. Like, what are you feeling? A lot of it is affirming. Like, whatever you're feeling is, like, good and right and all those things. I think I'm very honest about my relationships. The one I'm in with your father, the one I've been in with other people, the one in my past. I'm, like, an open book. So, like, as much as I think to be so that I can be... I just feel like there's information in there. You know, it's not like a model of like, oh, go do this, but more of like, oh, this is something that can happen. These are ways you're in relationship with people. This is like stuff like that. I'm really honest. Like when I think someone, like, first of all, you guys make really good decisions about the people you're in relationship with. I think so. Like you have really, and I think that's a testament to like how you see, our parent, like how we treat each other, your dad and I, and like, I think, yeah, I mean, different levels for all of you. You know, we're all different. I think you all have really big hearts. Some of you are much more vulnerable, like willing to be more like less guarded with people, and so the hurt can like come. There can be like. Sometimes I can see myself, I can see you guys having experiences and be like, oh, these are things that I've like experienced or felt, or I see something coming and I want to somehow try to lessen the hurt. But I think as much as possible, I try to just be there through it. Like, I mean, you've taught me more about romantic relationships than I think that I've taught you.
Really? Bonus question. What have I taught you? I'm curious now.
You've taught me how to, like, take care of myself and others, like, in loving ways. I think that's what I wanted to say. Like, I do not have relationships with people that I've been in. I'm not in, like, relationship with anyone that I used to be in romantic relationship with. Like, I don't do that well. Like, when done, I'm like done. And part of it is like I stay in things way past their expiration date, like way past. So it gets like spoiled and it feels like no way to like keep it of even the memory of it. So it kind of like just has to be done. And you are much better around like, yeah, I don't think this didn't go bad, but I don't want this anymore. And so, yeah, you talking to her.
What are like, the word in the question was tips.
Okay.
But like, what are things that you've tried to get your family, your children specifically, to participate in household chores?
What are some tips to do that?
Yeah. Like, what have you tried? What hasn't worked? What
works? Nothing works. Absolutely nothing works. Nothing works. I think there has been moments I have tried. Remember, I was a classroom teacher for many, many years. So I have brought in, like, all of what I have learned about chores and all the things. I think something that we've tried recently that I think has worked well, and it is something I learned in the classroom, is like, instead of like changing the chores all the time, like you have this thing you're in charge of and like you just hold it. It's funny because that's how I was when I was a kid and I hated it. Like, I was in charge of dusting and I thought it was the most boring job ever, but it's like, you're a duster. But I think that it works the best, because you're not like, you just know that's your responsibility and you hold it and keep it moving. Chores are really hard. We have a housekeeper, like we have cleaning, like
that has been majority of our family history. We have had someone who came at least
once every 2 weeks, sometimes once a month. I want to say someone told me that when I first got married, like someone that said something like, you know, like, I want to just suggest that you get a cleaning person. If you can afford to do it, get a cleaning person. It will save you, like, a lot of heartache. And I think it's one of the truest things that anyone has ever said to me. I'm not particularly, like, the most, like, I don't enjoy cleaning. Some people enjoy the work, like, cleaning, like, washing the dishes. And I do not. But I really function best in clean spaces. And so when things are out of place, it makes me so irritable and upset. And so just knowing there's going to be like a reset of the house every 2 weeks, that's what our cycle or whatever people need, has been really helpful. It doesn't remove the fact that you guys have like things that you need to clean all the time, because you have your room and you have, you make mess and you eat food. And all those things. But I guess one thing is like, it's really hard not to become a naggy person, right? And I know I didn't like that as a child, and I don't want that. And so just to recognize something that was really helpful to me, like something that came to me recently, I was home by myself for like 3 days. So you guys were away with your dad, like everybody was away. And I was here for 3 days. And what I recognized in that time is, like, I was okay with dishes being in the sink overnight. I didn't, like, fold the blanket after I sat on the couch. I didn't, like, things were out of place. But because it was just me here and no one was going to be asking me to do anything I didn't feel like I needed to have control of it. I was, like, cool with, like, some mess in spaces. But when you guys are home, it's like, no, the dishes have to be out the sink. And so recognizing just that, like, it's an emotional thing. It's not like, it doesn't have to be anyway. It's like, it's about what I'm feeling. It's all about feelings. Kind of really helped me, like, not to create more hard feelings because I'm having feelings. And that doesn't mean to say, like, no, I want the house to be clean. And I will say a tip. Set up your space in ways that make it easy to clean. Like, set up your common spaces. My bedroom is a sanctuary for me. Like, it has to be clean. If you guys are coming in it, there are very clear like lines and boundaries of like how you can be and use that space, because I need a space in this house where it's like I know it's gonna be clean.
There are definitely less ways to make your room messy than like any other house, in any other room in the house.
Yes. Yeah, it helps me. Like, everything has a place. There's no clutter. There's no, like, just stuff here that don't have a home. Everything has a home. And so it's easy to clean, and it's easy to keep clean. And I need that. And then the other rooms that are shared common spaces, I try to, like, minimalist. Like, there's not a lot, like, not a lot of trinkets, not a lot of things that can be out of, like, big furniture. Like, everything has a place, space. So there's not really a lot of, it's usable. Like everything is there because of how we're going to use that space. I think a lot of that is also from classroom teaching. Like you are learning how to set up spaces so that they are usable for children and also quick to clean up because you're making these transitions through your day all the time. And so I think that is helpful. And yeah, I mean, those are some tips.
Hi, my name is Anastasia Renee, and I am so, so grateful for Raising Rebels for the ways in which they share information that is much needed for queer Black women, for queer Black parents, and for the ways they do it, like, from the heart, not pretentious, and just with so much love and so much information.
Hi, my name is Latoya. And on this season of Raising Rebels, I appreciated Nalika's transparency. It's something that's very inspiring, and I can relate to her in so many ways.
Hi, it's Brandy. I thank each of you for sharing your brilliant minds with us so honestly and bravely and lovingly. I appreciate you.
What is a legacy you want to leave for your children?
What is a legacy I want to leave for my children? I mean, I guess, like, what do I think about when I think of legacy is, like, what is, like, I'm gone, but it's still here. And I think that, like, a way of moving through the world, like, a openness, like, you know, like, remember Grandma Nalika used to say, you know, like, be loud and your people will find you. Or, like, remember, like, I want all of the lessons that I have learned over my life to be accessible to my people forever. So I want my children to be able to, like, tap into all of the resources, all of the connections, all of the knowledge. I want that to be my legacy. That's why, like, I think I'm, like, doing this podcast, writing, creating art. I want you to be able to, like hear my voice. Like, I want my voice to be my legacy, and that it can, like, carry way beyond me.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
I love you too. I love you too.
Hi, this is Coco. I have just been amazed and inspired by everything that I have listened to in this season of Raising Rebels. I cannot wait to listen to it again and to hear what's in store for the next season.
This is Silas, and one of the things I've really appreciated about this season of Raising Rebels is it's met me at a time when I was soothing my younger self, and it served as a really, really beautiful bridge for that conversation. So thank you. Can't wait for next season.
This is Allegra, and I'm really appreciative of the read that Carvel gave me and my ego this season on Raising Rebels.
Next. What is your greatest wish for your children?
Belonging. Like, I mean, I have a lot of greatest. It's like, I don't know. But I think the thing that comes to mind for me is, like, we were talking about this last night, right? Like, this, like, idea that you have a place. It is with us. It's with me. You always, so you can, like, go and do whatever you want to do, wherever you want to go, whatever you want to try, whatever mistake you want to make, however you want, like, I want you to know you have a place, you have a belonging, you have a grounding. Because I know, knowing that, you can do anything, like, literally anything, try anything, yeah. You're pulling my heartstrings.
I know.
All right, I'm ready.
These questions got so real. Yeah, so I know.
It happens like that on Raising Rebels.
Oh, what went down?
It always happens like that on this podcast.
Okay. What inspired you to make Raising Rebels? It's not so much a parenting question, but it is something I'm a little curious about.
I think I've talked about this on a podcast before. Oh my gosh. First of all, I love podcasts. Like, I've always, like, since I was, like, when people first start, when, like, NPR, which is, like, a news station, a news radio station, started having, like, made an app so that you could download an episode of, like, you could download the radio and play it, because we live in New York City and we take the train, so, like, I couldn't get service underground. I was, like, the first, like, I got that app and I was, like, obsessed with it. And I've been listening to podcasts ever, like, I really love the medium of podcasting, and so it's always something I was, like, oh, I want to have those conversations. Yeah. And so I want to have a conversation. I want to, like, share information, share my experience, share, like, life, what I'm learning, be in conversation with people through this medium of podcasting. And I was having, you know, I ran a school, and through running that school, I was having a lot of conversations with Black parents about this tension between wanting your children to be, like, liberated and free, and coming to terms with the, like, realities of their lived experience, and scared for them. Like, it's just fear that parents have for their children. And then what I was understanding, because at the same time I was doing a lot of work around, I've always done a lot of work around racial identity development. And what I was recognizing is that for so many of us, we have internalized these white supremacist ideas of what safety is, what is the path to getting the things. And so as I was having this conversation with parents, I was very much, like, wanting to unpack where we were the cause of the oppression that we were trying to shield our children from. Like, what was our power? I didn't know it was going to lead me down this path to, like, really recognizing adult supremacy for what it is. But it's kind of where it's gone. And so that's where it started. And I was just baffled by how people who were really advocating for liberation in so many ways couldn't recognize the place where they had so much power in the relationship with their children as a place to, like, allow liberation. And it's, and this, and really honestly, like, making this distinction between content and context. And what I mean by that is, like, I think a lot of people think of the ways in which you're going to create liberation for children, Black children, is by what you teach them. Like, what is the content? Like, are they going to learn about Malcolm X? Are they going to learn about George Washington? You know, like, what are we teaching them? That is how. And for me, and maybe it's because just my experience as, like, an educator, I really think, I just don't think that matters as much as how, the context, the how, the why, the when, those are where all the oppression, that's where the liberation comes from. And that is a much harder thing to unpack than the what you teach. Because if you are teaching them about, you know, like, you know, the Black Panther Party, but you're still doing it with like grades and, you know, note cards and pressure and like one view on what, it, like you're still doing right, it. Wrong. Yeah, you're still doing it the same way they would teach, you know, anything other topic. It's still oppressive. And I think those are the parts where I really wanted to like get into it with people.
I'm Tamil from Houston, Texas, and I so appreciate the Choosing Family episode just because I'm at a point in my life where chosen family is really necessary for my survival and also my thriving. And I am trying to raise my kids in a way that they don't deprioritize family over their friendships and developing their friendships. And it's a fear that I have. So listening to this episode really kind of helped me navigate that in a way where I'm not thinking about it from a place of fear, of like, oh, my kids are going to not be good siblings, and just kind of be like, no, it's a both and. So I really, really appreciated it.
This is Hope. I'm so grateful for the courageous vulnerability that was shared by Nolika and her guests on this season.
This is Carvel, and I am so grateful to Raising Rebels for reminding me of the power that is available when you commit your whole self to love and liberation for your family and for your people.
Next question. Do you ever feel uncomfortable talking about your kids on the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Not as much as I should, I think. I usually don't. But recently we've been having a lot of conversations about how what I have said on the podcast has hit you guys, like how you've received it, how you've heard it, what, and it has given me pause in ways that I think when you were younger, I didn't consider because of adult supremacy, because I wasn't taking in mind, you know, like I would think things that matter to me, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to like say that. Or these are places of like, caution. But I think and it's hard because there's a way that I think there's a lot of learning that we've gotten to do and people get to do by hearing our stories, but they are our stories. They're not just my stories. And I don't know what the right balance is. I know we're talking about it all the time and often, and it may be, you know, the chapter in your book when you cuss me out, you know what I mean? Like, my mother wrote this whole podcast about me. I know I've heard from other guests on the podcast that their children have had, like, feelings about things that they may have said about them. Not often, but it has happened, like, one or two times. And not in a, and this is, these things are not, like, bad or good, but just, like, right, these are people, and they're in the world, and this is part of their story. And so it really does push me to have a lot of integrity about what and how, like how I'm talking about you guys, how I'm allowing parents to talk about their own children. Like I'll happen on a podcast sometimes. I'm like, whoa, like that's not how we talk about children. You know what I mean? That's not, that happens. So yeah, I guess that's the answer to that question. You're saying like, we're so intertwined.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes I think about that with like grandma and grandpa, like talking about them as my parents, like I'm telling my stories as a child and like the ways that they've and my siblings, and they're, it's like, yeah, just like try to tell it from my perspective. Like, this is how I have experienced this thing with these
other people. I forget eye perspectives with like our extended family so much. Mm-hmm. Because it's not that I forget that they're human beings, but I really don't see them. Like, majority of my childhood, they didn't really have lives outside of me. Like, they did, but I was never part of those lives. Mm-hmm. Because that's just the way, like, people separate children from, like,
their whole life.
Their whole life. Because they're like, I don't want to tell you about my partners. And I'm like, why? And mm-hmm. they don't really have answers.
Yeah.
But it is, like, so, like, for, like, so much of, like, my history, their lives revolved around just us. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, just me. Right? So when I'm thinking about them, it, like, takes a bit to remember that they have, like, histories and they have mm-hmm. pasts. Mm-hmm. And when they're not with me, they're out with someone else. Right?
Yeah.
That they have friends and people they like and people they don't like.
Yeah.
Which just baffles me. I'm like, they don't like people? Mm-hmm. What is going on? So,
yeah.
It's just something I think about sometimes.
Yeah. I think that's really helpful for people to understand. I always say this to people, you don't understand how important, how big you are in the lives of the children that you're in community with. And I think I didn't even know what you just said, but that makes sense. Like, they don't think you exist outside of them. You know what I mean?
Because you don't tell me that you're anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's like that, like, trope of, like, teachers live in the school. Yeah. Because, like, it's not like teachers are just like, you know, I went bowling this weekend.
Yeah.
They're just like, no, I'm here. This is, like, my whole...
Yeah.
Thing. And I think it's so interesting because the way we talk about children's in, like, thinking that the world revolves around them. Like, I never thought that these two things were connected before. But the way we talk about children is, like, this, like, idea that, like, children think the world is revolved around them. Because mm-hmm. that's just the way children think. And it is. But also a part of that is, like, adults don't often communicate what they are experiencing outside of that lens, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because it makes them uncomfortable mm-hmm. for a thousand different reasons.
You're so smart. No, for real. Like, you're absolutely right. That's, like, yeah.
It's interesting.
It's interesting.
I love
interesting.
It.
It's, like, my favorite word, right? So interesting. It's like, I'm going to start saying that those things are so adultist. Or, like, what's that word? It's like it's like adult supremacy. That's what that is. It's not just interesting. It's problematic.
It is. Because then you, like, it...
It's problematic.
It robs them of, like, a growing moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here. What is a noticeable improvement you've seen in your parenting?
Oh, my... It's in control. I feel like I have, like released, like, I'm so proud of myself and, like, how I have, like, released control as part of, like, becoming a better parent, like, letting things happen, letting my children, like, lead and do what they want to do, and, like, just releasing control. I think I'm so much more affectionate as a parent. I think I've grown in my ability to, like, hug and love and cuddle and just touch and all of those things. I'm going to touch you right now. And like that. I think that I have allowed for more mess, allowed for more play, allowed for more conflict. Just like this releasing control. All of this, like, all of it, the work has been to release control. And I think, yeah, gotten better at that.
You have.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, that's my question. What do you feel like you've seen as an improvement in my parenting?
Oh my goodness. Literally last night, remember? Something, like, me and my siblings get into fights. And when we get into fights, because our Glory is so smart, mm-hmm. she will go to you. And I, like, not like I'll gripe on you, but it is easier to discipline me and Moxie mm-hmm. than it is to discipline Glory. Mm-hmm. Because Glory's, she's wild and she doesn't take anything from anyone. Mm-hmm. So when she comes to you somewhat knowing that, mm-hmm. so the fight loses what the fight was originally about mm-hmm. because it becomes more of a, which one of us is gonna, like, who's fighting for mom, mm-hmm. right? the fight becomes less about us and becomes more about you.
She comes for me, like, not come and get me, but, like, she, like, comes for me, like...
It's, like, both, right? Yeah. It's, like, she's coming... The fight becomes less about, like, what we were fighting about. Mm-hmm. Becomes less about our relationship. Mm-hmm. It becomes a lot more of, like, our relationship in relativity to you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. She's so smart.
I know, right? So the... And it, like, robs a lot of, like, the opportunity to, like, grow. Because, like, when we have these fights, I go into them with the goal of, like, maybe we can learn something about each other. Mm-hmm. And then at least I can mm-hmm. get to a greater understanding of this person that I'm trying to be in relationship with. Mm-hmm. But that can't really happen if the fight is about you.
Yeah.
Because it's more about, like, our relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the relationship between the three of us, the four of us, mm-hmm. the five of us. Mm-hmm. So I remember, like, I asked you, I was like, can you, like, stop? Like, Mom, can you, like, not get in, like, these fights anymore? Mm-hmm. And last night, me and Gloria had a fight. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, not the biggest fight we have had in the past month. But it was...
No cops were called.
But, like, it was mm-hmm. up there.
Yeah.
It was up there. And I remember at the end, I came to you mm-hmm. not asking for help because the fight was over. But mm-hmm. I just needed to process my feelings. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I was able to, like... Like, you were able to do what you always, like, what I think you want to do when mm-hmm. we have these fights, which is to help mm-hmm. without having to, like, and the fight still got to be about me and Gloria.
Yeah.
It got
yeah.
to be about our relationship.
Yeah.
And even though it was messy and difficult, mm-hmm. and I still cannot completely pinpoint the lesson I learned, I know that there was a lesson.
Yeah.
And I know
yeah.
that I was able to keep that.
Yeah.
So I see you grow on that.
Yeah.
And it has been so...
It's hard, yeah.
It's...
No, it's true, though. I might do it. Because Gloria's, like, loud. And you'll be... And you're quiet. You're, like, you do rage. You both do rage in these different ways. But it's similar. You're feeling... Like, you get really quiet in your voice. And then Gloria will get really loud. And because Gloria's getting really loud, it could give the appearance that, like, she is overpowering you. But I know that that's actually not what's happening. You're doing your blue thing, which is, like... The stealthy eyes.
Yeah, the, like, psychological, like, mindfuck.
Oh, I know. You're, like, a master at it. But I think those are the things that I've learned. And that she can hold her own, too. Yeah. We it's like trusting you. Yeah. You're going to... Yeah, all the things.
Just going to figure it out. It's just hard. And I have also been there. And I have had to, like... It is also, like, when Moxie and Gloria are fighting, mm-hmm. I'm, like, in a very similar position where you are. Mm-hmm. Because if I intervene, it becomes about me yeah. and not about them.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've had to, like, actively work
yeah.
at not participating in the fight as long as I can help.
I'm
and with Moxie,
you.
It can be a little more difficult.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. That's the biggest thing, I think, adults... Not the biggest. I keep saying biggest, Lourdes, but it's one of those things that adults really need to, like, acknowledge and get a handle on. It's like they are so powerful. And if you don't recognize how powerful you are... You're just moving around like breaking shit because you're not seeing yourself as centered. You're like, no, it's not about me. No, it is. It's about you.
The minute you walk in the room, it's about you. Because that's just how kids are.
And that's not just how kids are. That's how privilege works. Like, if you're in a room of black people and a white person enters, they become centered. If you're in a room of, like, queer folks and a straight person enters, they're the person who's going to get, like, they have the power. And they are going to...
You can
have
feel
impact in, on that space. Like, just in their sheer presence of being there, they're going to shift things. And that's why sometimes the best thing you can do when you're trying to be, like, an ally, when you have privilege, is just to stay the fuck out of it. Don't say shit. Don't show up. Stay home. Mind your business. Do less. And I think it's a hard thing
it
to recognize.
It is so hard because it's, like, so often it feels like you're letting Rome burn.
Yeah.
Right? You're just like, mm-hmm. I have the power. That's, like, how it, like, often feels like with my siblings. Mm-hmm. Like, they're fighting. And I have the power. Mm-hmm. I could do something. Mm-hmm. I could make it stop. And if it pops off, if it all goes awry, it's that Spider-Man thing of, like, I was there, I had the power, and I did nothing.
That's right? Lie.
Yeah, you know.
It's a lie. Like, because what it doesn't acknowledge is, like, everybody has power. They're not being allowed to exercise their power because of you. Because of you. And if you would shut the fuck up, they would tap into their own power and they would figure their shit out.
Their power would feel, like, not feel, but would be bigger. Because it wouldn't have to be in comparison to yours.
Oh.
What? Thank you.
Listen. On this podcast. Tell them the things. Yes, that part. That part. Exactly right.
Do you have more for me? I think I want to do like one finishing question about like your childhood.
Okay, right? I'm ready. Okay. So we're going to end with my childhood?
Yes, we're going to end with your childhood.
Okay.
What is your favorite thing about the way you were parented?
Thank you for that question. And thank you for that question.
Courtesy of Moxie.
Oh, Moxie. I love a lot of things about the way I was parented. I think my father, like just being with him, I felt so loved. So I really like appreciated that. Like I was like, I felt so seen and so loved and so like wanted, such a like feeling of belonging and wanted, and like I really appreciated that. And there was a sense of like adventure. Like I feel like I was raised with a sense of adventure, like go try things, we're gonna go in the ocean, we're going to like fix this car right now inside, like just like adventure, like this kind of, which I really appreciated. And a lot with my mother, like so much intimacy. Like I was raised with a lot of intimacy. Like I was known and I was allowed to know my mom, like in very intimate ways. We cried together. We laughed together. We laugh a lot. Like I grew up with a lot of laughing, like a lot of fun. Like we had a lot of fun. Fun was a big part of my like childhood. I feel like my siblings, they always looked out for me. Like Auntie Audrey was like, if I needed her, like if something happened, she would show up. And she parented me that way. Like, she took me with her places. Like, she would, like, you know what? Maybe that's the only way, like, a big sister can, or a big brother, or a big, like, an older sibling can, is decided, like, they know you're big before you know you're big. Do you know what I mean? And they're like, we can go to the club. You can, like, come and hang out with me at these people. Like, you're big. You're like, am I big enough to be doing this? And because I'm with you, I am. And I think that Auntie Siobhan parented me by, like, she made me feel capable. Like, she made me feel like I grew up I was, like, she was wild. She was gonna, when she was like, I'm going, you taking me. You know what I mean? Like, we going and you gotta take me, so you can do this. Let's go. And so a lot of those things like has carried me through my life, and it's also like how I parent you. You know what I'm saying?
I'm about to say, Mom, your amazing parts of your childhood sound like my amazing parts of my childhood.
Oh, good. Oh, yay. Well, that's their legacy.
Yeah.
That's their legacy. That's all. That's those people. Those are those people who, and then there are other people who, like, so many people parented me. So many people parented me. And across the board, like, they made me feel like a human being. Like, they made me feel, like, throughout my life, all the people who parented me made me feel valued, worthy. And so,
yeah.
Rebel in the morning, rebel in the evening, now don't you be like a devil when I play with Zion's call. Rebel, 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 rebel,
In the spirit of this season of Raising Rebels, do you have any questions for me?
I've already asked you quite a few questions on this episode, but something that's coming to mind is, like, what has it been like for you to listen to Raising Rebels? I mean, you're, like, yeah, you're, like, the, you listen to, like, you're the, I don't even know what to call it, like, you're the producer, you're the editor, you're the subject, you're the host. Yeah, I'm wondering what it's been like for you.
My goodness, so I remember getting so excited about Raising Rebels. Mm. I don't even know. I barely remember why, but I do know I was really excited because when it came out, I was yelling that it came out to literally every single person I came across. Like, it came out and I would be like, Raising Rebels is out. And they'd be like, so happy for you. What is that? Mm-hmm. And then I would tell them. Like, we like to joke that, like, you were the promoter of Raising Rebels.
Yeah.
Like, we would go into restaurants and you would, like, hand out stickers, right? But, like, I've also been that person, mm-hmm. just not in, like, circles that we're all in. Mm-hmm. And now it is my story. Mm. Like, it is... Like, there's an episode this season where we talk about archives. Like, this is my archive. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to... Look, when I grow up, I get to listen back to these, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? And listening to them has helped me heal, and it has helped me see you in new and beautiful ways, mm-hmm. and it's helped seeing myself. And there is something magical about hearing your parents say kind things about you when you're not in the room, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. when you're with them, sometimes mm-hmm. it feels like that thing of just like, are you just saying this to me because you're my mom? Mm-hmm. But when you're just praising me to other human beings, there's something that, like, I can hear how much you love me in the way you pronounce every single word, right?
I do.
And I get, like, days where I'm sad and I'm like, you know what I really need right now? I need my mom. Mm-hmm. But you're in a space where you can't give that to me, mm-hmm. or you're just not around. Mm-hmm. I put on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
And I listen and I'm there sitting with Mooney, our dog, and yeah. we just get to listen and imagine that you're next to us.
Oh, yeah.
Saying these sweet things. And sometimes I imagine, like, when you're gone, I'm going to have that. Mm. I'm going to get to go back and I'm going to get to hear you talking.
Nice. Thank you, Blue. That feels so nice.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Thank you so much, Blue. All right. That's
it. We did it.
We did it.
Oh my God. I'm so proud.
Stand up, bussing and fighting.
Raising Rebels is produced by Queer Media, a family production company specializing in audio and visual art through a Black queer lens. This was edited by Marcelino Van Callias at La Femme Productions. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, and review this podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Raising Rebels Pod or email us at raisingrebels@queermedia.co.y. Thank you for listening to Raising Rebels. Bye.
The man sees a great adventurer.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.